Welcome to our podcast. In this episode, we explore the expanding role of sports and exercise medicine in public health. Dr. Bartuzondi, in the latest BJSM editorial, highlights SEM's impact on promoting physical activity, preventing injuries, and enhancing health outcomes beyond elite athletes. In 2016, UCT and Stellenbosch University opened the Sports Injury Clinic, making diagnosis and rehabilitation accessible to the broader population. These clinics are staffed by SEM physicians and supported by sports physiotherapists who lead patient rehabilitation. Now, Dr. Lee Gordon from Cape Town has launched the first state-based concussion clinic at Groote Schuur Hospital, emphasizing that concussions affect everyone, not just athletes. Join us as we discuss these advancements in SEM. Enjoy the episode. Lee, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the SASMA podcast. I've got Dr. Lee Gordon with me. And today we're going to be chatting about the Groote Schuur Hospital Concussion Clinic. So firstly, I want Lee to introduce herself, because Lee has got quite an extensive CV. And I think, Lee, if you could maybe just obviously give us a brief background of your sports medicine journey, and then also just your work in the concussion space as it stands.
Thanks, Janesh, for having me this morning. So I've been in sports physician space for about 10 years now. Started off with exposure to concussion at a club rugby level with Villagers, and then more exposure at a elite rugby level, working with the Springbok Sevens for about 7 years. So highlighting the differences between elite rugby, how concussion is recognized and managed there, as opposed to in the community, which is all recognize and remove. So yeah, I've had a lot of exposure to concussion through that. And obviously being at a sevens international level gives you a lot of exposure to new approaches, new protocols, and experience working with the HIA system. So as you'll know, with a new consensus last year, we've switched to an individualized return to play, and we've got a minimum stand down period of really 21 days. And it's a question of, it's great for the professional teams. Yeah. They've got doctors, they've got physios, they've got SNCs who can monitor everything, and they can day by day control and facilitate that return to play progress. Our issue in the community, A, is the recognition of concussions, and then who sees them, who manages them, and who manages their return to play. Mm-hmm. So there is a big gap in terms of, from a community base, who sees these players, because they don't all have the funds to see sports physicians privately. So I, together with Dr. James Berger, who's probably one of his kind, he's a sports neuropsychiatrist, and he was very interested in obviously community concussion as well. And together with Dr. Sally Rothmeyer, who's one of the neurosurgeons at Groote Schuur, who's also very interested in concussion, between the three of us, we realized that there was definitely a gap in the resources provided in the community for community-based concussions. Most obviously, we were thinking about it from a rugby perspective, but you can sustain concussions in any sport. Mm. Obviously, rugby just has a large volume of them. So that we realized we needed a portal for those players to be seen, assessed, and managed. So that was how our took about a year to get everything up and running. And the concussion clinic now sits in the Neuroscience Institute at part of Groote Schuur Hospital. And currently we only have the ability to run one clinic a month. So that's where we've started off with. Better than no clinics a month.
Definitely.
So we started midway through last year. So it's been an interesting journey to get here. Most of our referrals come from either in hospitals. So interestingly, since my history is sports-related concussion, but if you think about a brain injury, you can get it from any mechanism. So we've had referrals in from the trauma unit from rugby-related injuries, or actually other traumatic brain injuries that people have had ongoing symptoms, persistent symptoms afterwards, so they've referred in. And in fact, now Red Cross are quite interested as well. So we're starting to get some pediatric referrals in. So yeah, so we're seeing quite a wide variety. And interestingly, because it's only once a month, you lose that option of seeing acute concussions unless they happen to have had the injury in the week before. But it has meant that I've seen a few who've had complicated concussions and multiple concussions and actually have been wanting to see someone because of long-term sequelae. And it's been a vehicle for me to assess them.
And how are you guys managing them in the clinic?
So first of all, in an assessment in terms of seeing where their symptoms are, essentially kind of under what profile, are they mostly headache profile, are they mostly vestibular, cognitive, then it depends on which way we refer. So we have got access into the physio clinic, but unfortunately there's also a wait for that as well. From a neurocognitive perspective, we have the psychologists on board at Critis Care as well. So we have the option into there. If I need a neuropsych referral, James is happy to assist. And then we have Neuroflex, is a visual tracking software.
Very cool software.
It is very cool.
Headgear.
It is. So it's headgear. You'll know it. You put it on. Looks like you're in a different universe. My kids have done it. They say, oh, Mom, this is a trippy test.
It's like a fun way of doing rehab.
So each of our patients, we've assessed using Neuroflex, and it's been really interesting to see how their deficits on Neuroflex mix match with their concussion injuries. So, and how on a clinical exam and how that translates into a Neuroflex, kind of the changes. Then because we don't have our patients coming back weekly, we haven't been able to use Neuroflex in terms of rehab, but we can adjust some of the exercises that we can see where the deficits are on their testing and giving them simple exercise, vestibular exercises to do in terms of that. And we've had some nice results. So yeah, so Neuroflex is also, they've gone into partnership with a community rugby club in Langa called Busy Bees. And we've had quite a few referrals from there as well. So they've been doing baselines at the club, helped out with that a couple of weeks ago. So guys were doing their baseline just before they went out on field. It was quite an interesting afternoon. So yeah, so obviously then we have a direct communication channel with them should any of them get injured, and we can slot them into that clinic. So.
And you say with the Neuroflex, you guys are using it more from a diagnostic and picking up deficits from the vestibular ocular side as opposed to the rehab.
Correct. So ideally it would be nice if they could come in, because if you want to use it as a rehab tool, being able to have them come in a couple of times, 2-3 times a week would be ideal.
Yeah.
Problem is most of them don't live close to Critis Care, and it's not software that we can send out into the community with patients, unfortunately.
And what's the age group that you guys are seeing at the moment? Is it mostly your younger sporting? Obviously, you said you guys are getting some referrals from trauma and our Red Cross. What's the age?
My patients that I've seen have ranged between 18 and 35.
Okay.
I think I have a youngster on my next clinic list, which maybe 10 or 12, I think.
Do you know that was a sport-related injury?
That wasn't a sports-related injury. Okay. So I think it was a interpersonal violence, which is obviously also one of the big things that our casualties are seeing. They're seeing interpersonal violence, and whether you get your brain injury from a car injury versus from sports-related, you're still going to have some similar symptoms. So it's quite a wide catchment area. At the moment, I'm waiting for the floodgates to open. At the moment, we're kind of managing our referrals and we're doing that by email. So people can email me and you'll know on the sports concussion website, it's got links to practitioners who experienced in concussion.
Yeah.
And so we've got the Critis Care clinic down on there and my email address as a contact. So,
just going back, and I think you touched on it a little bit, what were the immediate needs that you saw from a concussion space? I mean, obviously, again, up until this point, concussion was a very private injury, in big inverted commas, because people would come in, see a sports physician or see a GP or whichever way they go. And obviously, we've been fortunate that we've got the SCATs now and the SCOAT, and we've got the concussion in sports group that sort of puts everything together. But what were the needs that were obviously seen at this point?
So James and I sat down and we were like, how do we facilitate research in concussion? Because it is such a growing space in sports medicine, and especially in female athletes. So in order to facilitate research, we needed to create a clinic through which we could get patients coming that we could recruit patients from a clinic. So we've got such a wealth of such a huge community of rugby playing athletes in this country, men and women. So it was a question of how do we provide a service for them and create a portal through which we can do some community-based research, because currently all our research in South Africa, concussion-wise, is mostly done at a professional level. There's some school-based literature research going on, but it is very tricky to do research at a school level because you then need to go through the education department. So it's a different, they're different challenges for that. So we actually started off going, okay, if we want to do research and create a two-pronged approach, have research and provide a service, because there is no service for club-based players who have no medical aid and they can't afford to see private practitioners. And a concussion assessment, as you know, takes a good 45 minutes to an hour, and your general GP appointments are 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Seeing the day hospital or the day clinic, expecting to get a full assessment there, I think is just unreasonable in terms of resources. So we realized that it's really, it's a gap that's not being fulfilled for our community.
I mean, do you guys know what is happening to those patients before this? Were they being just referred to sort of an MOPD or?
I don't. SOPD? Many of them weren't referred anywhere, and they were going back to play without being assessed properly. Certainly some of the ones that I've seen in the clinic were kind of, I took a knock, waited a few days for my headache to settle, and then I went back down, went back on the field. And that's obviously not ideal practice. And it's tricky because your community clubs often don't have S&Cs who can facilitate a return to play.
Yeah.
So it is very challenging. So essentially, at your top schools level, a lot of those schools have got physiotherapists. And we're also trying to slowly upskill those physios to recognize concussion and manage it better. And I've certainly seen in the schools where the physios have been upskilled in attending the ISA course, their recognition of concussion is much better. And thus, in a private capacity, we end up seeing more of those kids.
Yeah.
So the schools where physios haven't been trained, we see a lot fewer concussions. And it's not because there are fewer, it's just that I don't think they're being recognized. So there's a big gap with a lot of athletes just aren't being recognized in terms of having a concussion and therefore not managed.
Yeah. Just a short pivot. You mentioned the ISA course. So Lee runs the ISA, which stands for, I've done two of them, I always get the name, Advanced
Immediate
Care in Rugby, Level 3. So Lee runs the ISA course, which is a World Rugby accredited, and obviously Lee's World Rugby accredited to host the course. And that's where I think a lot of the practitioners, I mean, that's a good, just talking a little bit about concussion and recognition, that's probably one of the best platforms to get upskilled in that. Because again, you can read the research, you can see the guys doing an HIA, but ISA really goes into how do you recognize a concussion, how do you manage a concussion on field, HIA process, video review process, and everything that goes on with it. So just a short pivot into the ISA.
So the ISA course is, it's the only pre-hospital pitch side care course in South Africa. Yeah. So other countries have got other federations that run similar courses, but it's the only one in South Africa that pitch side care. And pitch side care is very different to hospital care. But, you know, so what you're doing on the field, whether they stay on or whether they come off, whether they're safe to go on. Concussion, I suppose, is one of the few conditions where, especially rugby, have said, you have to come off. It's not if you would like to. They've changed, they've had law changes to allow for head injury assessments, and that's only slowly filtering into some of the other sports now. So ISA, that course gives us, and it's for healthcare practitioners, so doctors and physios, and certainly just kind of for our listeners, the franchises at certain rugby competition level, it's mandated that if you are going to run the line, you have to have that qualification, at least to level 2. And then an SA Rugby will fund that because that is part of their mandate. So competitions that don't have those processes, those physios and sometimes doctors, giving them the opportunity to upskill and kind of their skills of pitch side care, of which C-spine injuries and concussion management is a key thing. So, and you don't really get exposure to that training anywhere else. So, yeah, so I approached, because I had a lot of doctors, especially our master's students, infl doctors and physios approached me and said, is there any way that they can get onto the courses, which are SA Rugby funded? I approached SA Rugby as well as World Rugby and said, listen, can we run it as a World Rugby course, but in a self-funded way so that candidates can self-fund onto the course and upskill that way? So World Rugby were happy with that. So we've run about, I think I'm about to run my fourth this weekend. And it's made a huge difference. So we've had a lot of our masters from various universities doing the course. We've had, and then we've had some school physios doing the course as well.
That's amazing.
Which has been so interesting because it's putting physios together from all across the country, and they're then networking with each other, and they have the resources and the networks to follow up. And it's been so fascinating to see how that course has given them the confidence and the skills, but also the confidence to know that this is how things should be done.
Yeah.
And if they're not done that way, then, you know, there are consequences. So we've had some great stories. Shame. I had one physio who phoned one day on a Monday morning and she said, I'm in such trouble with the headmaster because I didn't let the first team game go ahead on Saturday afternoon because they didn't have the correct equipment. But she had the knowledge and the skills, and then she had the confidence to say, this is a regulation. Yeah. This is what has to happen. And if we don't have minimum safety standards, we can't go ahead with the game. So it has been really good from a confidence for a lot of people. So,
and again, I think this is what we've seen in our setting, working on field, in games, in training. There's nothing better when you and your physios are all on the same page. When somebody says, again, for the listeners that haven't been involved, when somebody says, I've got MILS, it's okay, we know what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And I think that's quite a powerful thing about ISA now as well, and more people are doing it. Sorry, so that was just a short pivot into ISA. Lee, just jumping back to the clinic, how do you guys manage? Obviously, with the concussions, we've got the return to play process. And again, that's very sport specific. And now you're saying you're obviously seeing people that are not going back to a field of play.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that? Do you manage them to the point of symptom resolution and whatever other deficits were? So if it's a VOMS deficit, do you?
Yeah. So essentially, if they're not sport related, it's getting them back into normal day-to-day living. So. And one of the big issues that we've realized through the clinic, and we've got some of the audiologists that are very interested in concussion management, is there are actually no guidelines for returning to driving after concussion. So if you think about, if you're really dizzy and bright lights bother you and you happen to be a community rugby player who drives a truck during the week and you get your knock on the Saturday, and on Monday you're meant to be driving trucks and in traffic, moving your head quickly so you can think of the potential things.
Yeah,
that could go wrong. So that's one of the interesting things that we're looking at. But yes, I'm trying to get the kind of the non-sporty people back to their baseline kind of everyday function, and those that are in sports kind of trying to manage that.
I think it is quite nice to, again, it's almost like us within sports medicine need to jump out of that box to think that concussion doesn't just happen on a field. You can hit your head in a cupboard.
Absolutely.
You can bang your head on your boot door and you could get concussed. And I think it's important for us to also jump out of that mindset that it's, yes, SRC is sports-related concussion, but you do get a lot of non-sport-related concussion.
On the topic of that, it's quite interesting because putting this whole program together, we were looking at the definitions of concussion. And obviously, Concussion and Sport Group have come out with the lovely sport-related concussion definition. But when you look at the anesthetists and the neurosurgeons and the neurology, there are no agreed upon definitions. And some of those are still working on how long was your period of loss of consciousness, which determines your definition, which we've already moved so far past that we know 90% of concussions don't have a loss of consciousness.
Yeah.
So it's been quite an interesting journey to see where obviously the neurosurgeon see very structural issues.
Yeah.
Whereas, and if they have a normal scan for them, like there's nothing there's nothing to do interventionally from their perspective.
Yeah.
But it's been, I think, quite enlightening for some of the registrars to then see, yes, you can have a normal scan. but this is how it impacts on your life, and it's a quality of life issue.
So is that definition from the concussion support group, or what we would know from the Amsterdam consensus now, would that be the definition you guys are?
That's the definition we are using.
That you guys are using now.
So it's been a learning process.
Yeah, it is
a mind shift.
It's nice. So again, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. Who's actually able to refer to the clinic? I mean, is it one of those where they need to go through one of the other clinics and only the clinics within Fortescue can refer, or can practitioners refer from outside, and what practitioners can actually refer?
So currently we've left it that you can refer in, I think we're waiting to get onto Vula. I'm not sure that we're on Vula yet. That's from within Fortescue.
Yeah.
But how it's currently working is, in the neurosurgical department, they know that we're available, both from Fortescue and Somerset, our local hospitals. So if they're patients that want to refer in-house, then that comes through kind of the channels within that I get emailed. For external people, if they want to see, we haven't limited it in terms of that you need to be seen in another clinic. And it's a slight disconnect, actually, because it's sitting in the neuroscience, which is essentially a quaternary clinic.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a very
niche clinic, but it is actually a clinic that should be readily available in the community. So have plans to first get it all solidified and consolidated there before we move it out into communities. But essentially, at the moment, I've left it that, as in all practitioners on that sports concussion website, that you can refer in, so people can refer into me by email. And then I'm managing that at the moment.
And you obviously then just do the screening as well.
Absolutely. So until that becomes unmanageable, then it's me.
For now, it's all
and
on
until
me.
You're willing to help.
Well, yes,
I can get a willing helper. So at the moment, I'm managing that job.
Okay.
So.
No, Lee, thank you so much. And I think, this was just to actually shed light on the fact that, again, like you said, it's a clinic sitting within a very specialized clinic. And I mean, I knew about it because you're involved and we've chatted about it, and I'm involved in, I guess, elite sport now and concussions. Mm-hmm. And that's how we sort of got onto chatting about it. So I just want to shed light to the community that this is actually available. So any closing comments from your side?
No, I just want to say thanks for the opportunity. And I think I'm going to say thanks for shining light on it. I have a concern that it might open some floodgates. But then, you know what? Opening the floodgates also shows where the need is. And if we identify the need, then we need to try and respond to that. So you have to start somewhere. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.